Josh Gad, more like I'm Josh Glad this didn't get a second season.
Welcome to Bottle Episodes, everybody. Welcome to Bottle Episodes. My name is David Piccolomini.
I'm Daniel Crow, noted Josh Gad fan.
And this week we're joined by...
Jake Silverman. Thanks for having me, boys. It's good to be here in Delaware.
Yeah, scenic Delaware, the Delaware studio.
The Delaware studio, yes. You guys have many locations, but it's an honor to be here in the Delaware studio.
Yeah, I think we recorded this in like six locations at this point.
That's good. You guys are like a terrorist cell moving around.
Much like Josh Gad for about 3 years in the early 2010s. He was popping up everywhere.
Yes.
Terrorizing the big screen, the stage, and the small screen all at once.
You two are both in agreement on how much you hate this guy.
I just
don't have an opinion on him, really. I didn't even really remember him until he did this show, but...
Really?
True Josh.
Like, yeah, I don't know. But David was talking about what we were watching. He was very upset about Josh, and now you are too.
True Josh Gad story I have. So this is like circa 2014 or whatever. Whenever he was doing that show on FX with Billy Crystal.
Was that bad too? I never watched it.
I'm in the Lower East Side, and I walk into a bodega, and then some other guy walks into the bodega and goes, "Wow, Josh Gad just walked by." And the guy behind the counter is like, "Who's Josh Gad?" And you can see a poster for that Billy Crystal show
from the bodega.
And the guy points, he's like, "The guy that's not Billy Crystal." And the bodega guy leans over the counter and looks. He goes, "Oh, I hate that guy."
He's from the show you're talking about is The Comedians.
Yeah.
Oh, is it about stand-up?
Billy Crystal was getting in. It's kind of like Hacks.
Oh, okay. Like a famous comic and then an apprentice kind of thing.
Feels like they should probably switch titles based on how much people liked the shows.
This is Bottle Episodes, where we watch the pilot of a poorly rated show, and then we watch the top rated episode on IMDb to see if it got any better. And this week we're doing 1600 Pen.
Yeah, which was created by Josh Gad and two other people.
Yes.
And I don't know if you need three people to go, "What if we made a parody of The West Wing?" That's a two-person max pitch.
Well, do you know who else is on there? John Lovett from Love It or Leave It. I'm pretty sure this is the same guy. He's the podcast guy, isn't he?
There's more than one podcast guy, so you will need to be more specific.
I might be thinking it's a different guy then. I thought there's the podcast.
There is a podcast called
Love It or Leave It. It's like a political. I wouldn't have to go this far with you. I figured you would know it.
I think he worked in the Obama administration.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he's an actor.
No, but he's a writer.
Oh, he wrote the thing. He wrote
the
show.
I think it's the same. Yeah, John Lovett, former Obama speechwriter.
Yes, and then did he also write this show?
That's what I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, he was a producer on The Newsroom.
Good for him, man.
No, maybe it's a different John Lovett. How many John Lovetts do we fucking need?
Well, we have also a plural, John Lovitts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's...
Comedian.
Yeah.
Actor.
Hack. This is a callback to The Comedians.
Yes.
I
have no actual opinion on Mr. John Lovitts.
I will tell you, this was years and years ago, when I was just like a host in Portland at the Helium, and I asked the manager, I was like, "Who's the worst comic you've worked with?" And she, without hesitation, goes, "John Lovitz."
All right, well.
So not even in talent, not on stage, like as a guy.
Oh, man.
She was just like, "John Lovitz by far was the hardest guy I've ever had to work with."
Wow.
Yeah, and she just snapped to it. So she knew. She had her answer on the top of her head.
Yeah, he made an impression.
And a bad one.
Of all people to be a critic about.
Yeah, very weird.
John Lovett stinks.
Yeah. You ever talk to comedy club managers and ask them about, like, I always like doing that. If I kind of get to know them well enough through a weekend, I'll be like, "So, like, it's Saturday night. Let me get a little dirt." And it's fun to hear those stories of who they absolutely hated.
Yeah, that's so, I should do that more.
It's only if you kind of get a good relationship
going with them.
But like, if you did well during the weekend and then, you know, they got the photos on the wall, you're like, "Which one of these guys sucks?" And they'll be like, "Let me tell you about this fucking guy right here."
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, I'm willing to bet a lot of people had similar experiences on set with Josh Gad. Because he was everywhere for like 3-4 years and then nowhere. Which tells me he burned a lot of bridges.
I only knew him. I saw the original cast of
Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon. So he was in that.
Yeah.
And then I did not know he was so big.
I mean, he had a lot of TV shows. He had a lot of this, and then he had, none of them ever went anywhere. He's also Olaf in Frozen. He's the snowman.
Oh, wow. That's a huge win. I mean, that's a win.
Yeah. He's around. He's also voice acting was a lot of, he would get a lot of voice acting stuff.
Okay.
After.
But right. Also like The Wedding Ringer with Kevin Hart.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to really make him a star for a time.
And he just didn't, America
People
rejected
don't
him.
Like, it's a weird thing where I'm watching the show. I'm like, I recognize that he is doing everything right for comedic purposes, but I don't like it.
Huh.
I don't like it.
Josh Gad's a lot like truffle oil. Like, if you add more than like a little bit, it just overwhelms the whole dish and ruins it.
I feel like he'd be one of the worst people to sit next to on a plane.
Because he would be like very boisterous.
Yeah. And you're like, man, I'm just trying to get to Cincinnati. I need you to calm down.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see him being very serious. I could see him very like, yeah, because a lot of times those guys who are like wacky on stage are like so serious off stage.
They got to prepare. An actor prepares.
They're keeping all their energy.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's got to be crazy to have that many opportunities and for it not to like blow up though.
I mean, he's doing fine. He'll have money from being Olaf forever.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, also he's still in movies like Strays, which just came out, like, and like he was in that TV show Wolf Like Me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like he's still getting work and stuff. Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's not the lead anymore.
Avenue 5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he worked with Iannucci.
That's Iannucci can do better. He can do a lot better. Speaking of Iannucci, that is probably one of the reasons people hated this show so much. It debuted just after Veep.
Really?
Just like 2 months after.
Oh, my God.
I was wondering the timeline. Yeah, because that's what I was like, well, Veep must have blown. I mean, obviously, Veep did what this show was maybe trying to do.
But much, much better.
Yeah, and like, obviously, because this was an NBC show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Veep obviously could be more edgy and do more stuff. But I was just thinking, like, so this was in 2000, this was during Obama.
Yeah.
It's weird watching a show like this now,
mm-hmm.
because since Obama, we have lost. Obama was kind of the last president. People were like, you know, it's like cool to respect the president. Like, you know, people really liked Obama. They liked him as like a guy.
Some really didn't.
Yeah.
But
overall, as like a nation state.
And
like,
in the media generally, like you know,
his scandals were like the wrong color suit.
Right.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was like a decent guy. Right.
Right.
But now when you're watching this and you're like, oh, the little hijinks they were getting into in the show, you're like, bro, we just know that the presidents are horrible, evil people, and they have horrible, evil families. It's like weird to be like, oh, my kid can't. It's like, look, if this was real, Josh Glad would have got into Harvard. He would have been done. He would have had his degree because they would have bought it. Like, it's just like, you're just like, I don't believe this for a second that the president's son is like a fuck up. If he was a fuck up, they would have been like, yeah, you're either out of the family or we're paying for you not to look like a fuck up.
We haven't actually explained what the show is. It's about like the president living in the White House, his family, and they're wacky. But the opening scene is Josh Gad at college.
Yes.
We find out later he's been in college for 7 years.
Yes.
Very much the Van Wilder of this show.
What a party animal.
And he's like setting up a prank on a frat that's been bullying him and some other kids. But a better show than just a normal sitcom at the White House is the president's son at a college. And he sucks and he can do whatever he wants. And he's got Secret Service as bullies for
him. Yeah.
That's a more interesting take.
Totally. Also, but even then when you're watching it, you're like, there's no way he wouldn't be in the best frat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the president's kid.
He's hanging out with nerds.
Yeah, he's a loser. Like, there's just no fucking way.
Like, people want access to the president.
Yes. they would want him in their frat immediately, even if he sucked.
That's why it's a more interesting take. This guy that sucks but can glide through life, but he thinks he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than just him being at the White House where everybody's like rolling their eyes at him.
Yeah. It was, And then also there was just so many kids. There's too many kids to keep track of.
Yeah, we don't need the
22-minute show.
We don't need the two younger kids.
You need the two younger kids, and you have the stepmom angle, and you have the. I mean, that's a lot to go around. That's a lot of stage time to spread around.
For a 22 minute
especially
pickup,
when Josh
that's supposed to be about the president.
Right, it's like...
And Josh Gad's hogging most of the time.
He is hogging a lot of the time.
Actually, I now just want to see the show where Josh Gad thinks he rules and you find out it's just Secret Service and other people around him just making his life work.
It's the only explanation for how he has a career. Presumably, he was a secret son of Obama.
Josh Gad is an industry plant.
Yeah.
No, I think he's just... He's so specific, it strikes such a specific chord with people that it's like, he gets into that, like, if you can use him properly, there is a space for him. He's kind of like Ken Jeong, I feel like.
I've seen Ken Jeong work in way more things than I've seen Josh Gad work in.
That's fair. And I feel like it's just, it's like, he's so, like, there is an unlikability there with him.
I hope he doesn't hear this episode.
Yeah, I feel like,
because maybe he's a nice guy in real life,
but it is something where, like, because the energy he's putting out is annoying, unlikable energy, that's like the character is, they're designing the character with that in mind.
Yeah,
but you're still supposed to kind of be on his side,
but there's nothing redeeming about
it. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
He sucks. He just sucked.
Yeah, there's no, like, there's no reason to be on his side.
Well, there's a weird moment later in this first episode where we're sort of supposed to be given, like, his good quality, which is he has a spark with people. He knows how to talk to people and get them. And his dad, the president, says, "I never had that. Your mom. How did you get elected president?"
Right.
If people don't like you, how did you do that?
Also, it's weird because it's Bill. Which one?
Pullman.
Okay.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out if it was Pullman or Paxton.
No, not Paxton. It was Pullman because Pullman's the president in Independence Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it is weird to have, like, Bill Pullman be like, "Wow, something I don't have that Josh Gad does." You're like, "What? It can't be. That's not
negative screen presence. Is that what you're referring to, Bill?"
His mom was probably like some type of special needs person.
Jeez. Well, look, we watched another show that we're gonna do an episode on later, and you don't know what trap you just fell into.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So they bring him back, and then he's just at the White House.
Causing hijinks. They're, like, also trying to... Also, it's, like, they're trying to... There's that thing where he is trying to do, like, a 30-second spot about teaching kids how to be safe from fires, you know? And...
If anything, this guy should be doing a PSA about autism.
Yes, 100%. But he's trying...
Hey, do you also have special interests?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that... And then, yeah, it causes this whole thing where... I don't know. It's just, I mean, I know it's supposed to be spoofy, but you're like, I feel like other, like Veep, it's like, oh, some of this is believable, maybe, you know, or at least like in line of like, oh, it's more political. This is just like, there's just not hijinks happening at the White House. There is no way that a chair sets on fire and gets thrown out. It's just kind of like, it's the wrong setting for all these little pranks.
One of the big things about Veep is the characters suck, but they're not annoying. They're bad people.
Yes.
But then they also have Julie Louis Dreyfus's daughter set up as a character and some other characters who show up to be like, "You suck. You know that, right?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's no one to confront any of the characters in this show. Be like, "You're annoying and I hate you."
It's like the staff at the White House who have no power.
Yeah.
It's just like...
But even they're not pointing out that they suck to their face.
No. One, and remember, I don't know if you remember this because you were kind of passing out, but the Josh Gad's handler is named Marshall Mathers for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you great were like, "Why are they talking about Eminem?" I was like, "No, I think the character's name in this show is Marshall Mathers for some reason."
It's Marshall Malloy.
Oh, you just kept calling him Marshall Mathers.
Oh, that was supposed to be a joke?
But I don't think we had had his real name set up.
No, we don't know his name
yet.
Oh, that's dumb. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even fully know what they're like. Yeah, because I think you're right about the benign deviation kind of thing of it. It's like the White House is too serious.
Yeah,
these like silly hijinks,
right?
Unless you're going almost like at a cartoony like First Kid, like Sinbad level,
right?
But then you're not doing an NBC sitcom.
No.
It's funnier if the cast is entirely the same, except Sinbad is the president. With no explanation for why he's a different color than all of his
full
kids.
White family.
Yeah.
Just telling Josh Gad he has a spark with people that Sinbad never did.
Yeah.
Sinbad is riffing his entire presidential speech. He's not writing. He's not using any speech writers. He's just going up there talking about baseball bats and whatever.
You know, Sinbad's actually never lost an election.
Well, he was a genie. Yeah, I don't know.
And then there's the daughter.
The daughter who gets knocked up.
Yeah, she gets pregnant.
And she's freaking out. And also she has a beef with the stepmom, but we, in at least the two episodes we watched, we do not know what happened to her mom. It's, she's either dead somehow, I guess.
She ran away to be with Sinbad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But oh, yeah, no, she's definitely
pissed.
Dead.
She's pissed that the stepmom is now first lady.
Which, get over it. You're an adult.
How you're much an is, adult and your dad is president. How like, much he's is not going to be a single guy.
Yeah. How much does having a stepmom affect your day-to-day
right.
life?
You got pregnant. You have other things to focus on. Yeah. Your stepmom, the first lady.
Yeah.
Who seems like a nice lady.
Yeah, she seems nice.
She, out of all the characters, seems like she's like trying the most.
Yeah. She seemed like fun to be around.
Jenna Elfman.
Yeah, from Dharma and Greg.
Yeah.
Yes. We randomly mentioned Dharma and Greg a lot on this podcast, I feel like. We'll just get a passing mention quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she gets knocked up by some, like, jock.
Well, we don't meet him in the first episode.
We do not.
She's they, didn't, like, they didn't cast him or spend money on no. him in the pilot. Like, they weren't yeah, sure it was going to go.
Yeah.
Like, listen, if this doesn't go to series, we don't want to, like, get someone's hopes up.
Here's the thing about him being a dumb jock. This is a show about politics, and they're so unwilling to wade into anything political that they just made this guy a dumb jock rather than the exact opposite of her politically.
Yeah.
That's a better conflict.
Right.
But they, for a show about politics, it is so apolitical and
yeah,
toothless.
100%.
That's one reason I find it hard to respect.
Yeah, they literally, there's no political content at all.
There well, is, but it's like, I need to make a trade deal with South America.
Right.
Right, but that's not,
yeah.
There's not political ramifications to the trade deal they're making with South America.
Yeah.
And the jokes, the throwaway jokes that they do have are so boring. Like, they're playing tennis, him and the Brazilian guy. And he's like, I'm going to beat you like you beat your Native American. Or what he says something like, I'm going to treat you like you treated your Native Americans. Yeah. And it's like, okay, sure.
Wow.
That's your big zing that he didn't even say to his face. He said it to himself under his breath as he's walking away.
But then, yeah, so there's like three of those that he says to himself and the president doesn't hear.
Yeah.
But later he says one to the president's face and the president's like, this guy's got so many of these. Like, this is the first one you heard, yeah, dude.
He's just been hearing him whisper it under his breath, yeah, the whole time.
Well, I guess they did do a brief flashback to when they played Hialeah in Brazil.
Yes, so and maybe he got hit in the balls.
Yeah, maybe he did some of these in Brazil.
Yeah.
He's just good at shit-talking. The Brazilian president, known for his shit-talking.
Truly, I would love to look up historical times when world leaders actually played sport against each other. I mean,
or at the very least, Hialeah has got to be a very rare one. I don't think anyone's ever played Hialeah against each other.
First of all, an American president has never done that sport, ever.
I would believe Teddy Roosevelt had, and that's it.
Was it invented when Roosevelt was around?
I think this
was
a pretty old game, yeah.
I think it was like a fad in the 60s and
70s. Mm. No, 1875.
Yeah.
1875?
Yeah.
But was it in America?
No, that's...
But Teddy traveled, although he spent time in South America.
Okay, so maybe he played it.
Yeah.
But do you think he played it against a president?
No.
Yeah.
No. But I think he would have played it at some
point. Okay, okay. But I want to know...
athletic competition.
Right, but I want
to
know...
We can just turn this into a Teddy Roosevelt podcast if no one wants to talk about 1600 Penn.
I love the idea of we're like, let's talk about a better president
than whoever... What is this guy's name, actually?
Oh, you're not going to believe this. His name is actually Barack Obama.
Oh,
as well.
Damn. Yeah, that love it or leave it guy.
Gilchrist.
Is he... Did they ever say if he's a Democrat or Republican
no.
even? They don't even say his party affiliation?
Because they want it to appeal to everybody.
That is crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised, but at some point he gives a speech and goes, now as a true moderate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm the first centrist elected in American history.
Bill Pullman pulled the Green Party out of obscurity.
Yeah. That's why he's the pull man.
Yeah, he, and like, I wonder too, I guess I don't know if he did it on the other episode, the episode we watched, but at the first one, I was wondering, like, are they going to do this at, because he, like, at the end of the first episode, he wraps up with like a speech that's very just like, when we work together, you know, anything is possible. And I was like, is this going to be every episode where he, you know, it's like the way they
wraps
end
it up with a speech.
With a speech about some like life lesson that the episode was supposed to instill in people.
I don't think they did that in the second
No, they didn't. But I was like, when we were watching the first, I was like, there's no fucking way that this is how this show ends. Every week is just him. And we all figured it out.
And we all triumph together.
Do you know what 1600 Penn is? It's the sort of show that kids think all adults watch.
Yeah.
If you
I'm sophisticated.
Yeah.
I'm watching political shows.
Yeah.
And it's just, okay, yeah, hold on. I think it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of dogs here today.
Yeah.
A lot of dogs in the White House, if you catch my drift.
Dogs in the White House. Roof, roof, baby. Roof, roof.
This is the sort of show that would have a Who Let the Dogs Out joke in it.
Yes, 100%.
The mark of terrible comedy when they bust out Who Let the Dogs Out as a joke.
Do you think they can afford the song for it?
No, but they can afford Josh Gad singing it.
Right.
They don't need to there's a royalties. Scene where Josh Gad has to rally his siblings to do something. And he's like, he puts together a dance for Who Let the Dogs Out, and they all do it in the Rose Garden. This is that kind of show.
Yeah, I would love to see more Secret Service interference in the show in general.
Well, good news. They would be dancing in the garden with them.
Yes, 100%.
It's a flash mob, but just Secret Service members coming out of different hidden enclaves.
It would have been it would have been... Now, again, they couldn't have done this on NBC. But... And I didn't watch much of Veep, so I don't know like the whole thing. But like having very over-the-top goofy hijinks, but... back played against very real visceral world events, like Josh Gad trying to figure out Israel Palestine is something I would at least be more interested in. Like his little hijink scenario is like, we got to put them over here in these camps, and you're just like, all right, I'll watch
them some cookies.
I'll watch we're dropping cookies from an Apache helicopter on Gaza right now. I would watch that. I would at least see that.
Yeah, I'd be just glad to watch this.
Yeah, but rough.
It's funny because we're like just trying to, I'm trying to think of like anything else from the pilot that's even worth talking about.
I think we covered almost the entire pilot.
It's completely formless.
Yeah.
I guess we forgot the one moment at the end where the youngest daughter and son, who I guess are like a year apart in age.
Yeah.
They're like 13 and 12. They got into some sort of fight.
I forgot.
Because the boy likes some girl, and then the sister bullied him about it, and turns out
she's
a lesbian for that girl. That's why they got in a fight.
Forgot.
It's never addressed in the other episode we watched.
No, that
is the punchline. Simply that the little girl's a lesbian. Is that the whole joke?
I don't think it was a joke. I think it was like, hey, look at how accepting the stepmom is, because now the stepmom I think knows that the daughter is pregnant, and she knows that the other kid is a lesbian.
That's like setting up for a sitcom. It's like, hey, listen, we've got a lesbian daughter and a pregnant daughter.
Right.
What's going to happen? You got to watch next week to find out.
Yeah, traditionally, when I know someone who is going through an unexpected pregnancy, I'm like, a lot of laughs are coming.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of the funniest times in your life.
Nothing funnier than a 13-year-old lesbian, let me tell you.
Famously a jovial comedic group.
And also it's like, you're gonna deal with this on an NBC sitcom? You're gonna really go that way?
You won't even tell us if the president's a Democrat.
Yeah
because that really colors how the rest of this bit is gonna go. Is she getting sent to camp, or is she being trotted out for campaign events?
It'd be funny if like the second episode she's just not around. Just like, yeah, we found out, and she's not really our kid anymore.
Yeah.
She's going to a DC public school now. Fuck her.
And then the Brazilian stuff just kind of...
Josh Gad...
Josh Gad...
He uses his spark with people.
Yes.
To convince all the South Americans to vote with his dad.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He gets drunk with 9 Central and South American world leaders. And he's like, hey, man, stand up to your bullies is basically the premise of his little rallying speech. He goes, you guys have been pushed around by Brazil for too long.
It's pretty much the same speech he gives at the start about that fraternity.
Yeah.
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 And then
that's good writing.
And then they're just like, you're right. We're fucked up and we don't want to deal with Brazil anymore. And then they vote against him.
I do love the idea of like... That's like such a white guy fantasy to be like, he's going to go talk to like the leaders of like Peru and Venezuela and be like, Brazil's your real enemy.
Can I make a promise right now to all of our millions upon millions of listeners.
Yeah.
If you elect me president, I will appoint Josh Gad ambassador to Brazil.
Wow. There you go.
I will do that.
Hell yeah.
You have my promise. That's the only thing I'm running on.
Watch out. Josh Gad's going to get you elected.
Why would he want to be ambassador to Brazil, of all things?
That's a fun place to be.
That seems like a pretty great job.
I've been to Brazil. It's a beautiful country.
There's actual issues to work out if you're the ambassador to Brazil, though.
Then the ambassador to some no-name.
Like Monaco or something. Yeah. Then you're just living it up. Yeah.
But how much power does an ambassador have? What are you really doing? You're going to meetings. You're not the president. You have no authority.
No, you're the representative in the country.
Sure, but you're just like, hey, this is what Biden thinks we should do.
Yeah, but there's like actual... This isn't going to be really funny for the podcast, but you might have to be like, hey, you need to stop deforesting the rainforest.
I'm sure he's
like
going
to
get plenty of beach time is what I'm saying.
All right.
I think Josh is hitting those beaches.
Also, he'll be able to sing all the presidential decrees.
That's a good point. Yeah,
dude. He's going to be doing cartwheels and wacky antics. He'll be hanging from a chandelier telling that guy, please don't do another January 6th.
Josh Gad, I feel like, is the sort of person that thought he could be the lead in Home Alone when he was 30.
Kevin McAllister? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I feel like he was like, let's do a remake right now.
But adult.
No, he'd still be playing a kid.
Oh, he's a kid.
He's a kid, but he's playing.
He's like, I'm 8.
Yeah.
I'm a fat, tall 8-year-old with a beard.
Yeah.
And I'm home alone.
Yeah.
I think
he believes he could have done that.
There's two guys after me who are just my size.
It's like Ben What's-His-Fuck in the Suicide movie.
What?
That it will make sense. That's a really what's that musical that with Ben, what's his name? Ben Platt,
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
Okay. When he played
What's his fucking the suicide movie? I stand by that.
I was thinking to myself, okay, so Ben Affleck does cameo as Batman in Suicide Squad. What's the angle here?
No, Ben Platt played himself in high school. He played the high school kid.
Yeah.
At like 33.
That's a pure Gad move.
Stealing our boy's fucking thunder right there.
Stolen valor, dude.
Stolen glad valor.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying the episode, don't forget to rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. Also, follow me on Instagram at DPIC Comedy, Daniel at Daniel F. Crow, and Jake Silberman at The Comedian Jake. You can find Jake, he's touring all over. I linked his link tree in there. And then also check out his podcast, Hard Man, Soft Boy, and The Jake Silberman Show. Also, fun fact about this episode, when I picked this show, I definitely thought it was That's My Bush. And so I told people, I was like, oh, it's like a Bush era. They're making fun of that politics and stuff. And then it's just a very banal sitcom about Josh Gad. So we went with it and did what we could. By the way, just as an update, it was written by John Lovett, who's the Love It or Leave It podcast guy. He's the speechwriter for Clinton and Obama. So that's why I was trying to figure out who that guy was. Okay. And anyway, more confusing references as we get back into it.
Anyway, we should probably move on to the highest rated episode of the show, episode 9.
I think it's just called Bad Date.
No, it's called Game Theory.
Oh, Game Theory?
Oh, yeah. Because the kid has the most generic looking game theory book ever.
Yeah. It just says Game Theory. Yeah.
It's like a textbook that he's been reading with his Steve Jobs glasses.
Yeah, that kid's... You know, he's doing his best. He's working with the material he was given.
I've been reading Game Theory. That's what he says.
Yeah, no,
he just comes in, he goes, I've been reading Game Theory.
He brings in the box with Risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of this episode devoted to him playing Risk against his dad, the president.
Yes.
And then the president reaches out to the generals to try to figure out how
he
to play Risk.
He calls a midnight meeting with the top intelligence brass.
And then for a while, the press thinks they're going to invade Australia.
Yeah. Because he overhears it.
Yeah.
It's a great episode.
Really, just
it really got a lot better. Got a lot better. You guys are right. It gets better.
I mean, it's just like
that little lesbian daughter I want to tell her right now. It gets better. Okay. 1600 pen and your life. It gets better.
But so that's the subplot or the B plot. But the main plot is Josh Gad is creepy, but he's going to go on this date with this woman anyway.
Is it creepy or is, I mean, dude, she's doing everything I don't think creepy is the word. She's like, you're out of your mind. And if you say anything you ever say to people, this woman will, no one will fuck you.
Yeah. And that's the main character of this show, the by the way, that we're supposed supposed to tune in every week to be like, what's he going to get into next?
Yeah, it's he goes on this date with a woman who has already rejected him for some reason, but now she's like, you know what? Josh is my guy.
Well, also, who is she related to?
I think she works at the White
House. She works at the Department of Defense.
It's the actress that in the first season of Fargo plays Martin Freeman's wife after his first wife gets murdered.
Oh.
It's his second wife, yeah. Fargo.
Well, here she is dating another fat loser.
Here's the thing. You know what became apparent to me in this episode? Is that Josh Gad is trying to play essentially Charlie from It's Always Sunny, and he's not at all equipped to play that role.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie Day would be very fun in this.
Because this is Charlie.
Yeah.
They just threw Charlie in the White House and had Josh Gad play him.
Yeah, but the thing about this guy is that you're still... Charlie in Always Sunny, you're never... I mean, I guess there may be moments, but you're generally just like... You're not supposed to feel this like sense of sympathy for him. Where in this show, they're like, hey, he's like a sweet guy. He's a sweet guy who just doesn't get it, you know? Charlie's just like, you know, the Tasmanian devil. This one, they like keep drink. They don't even let him just be crazy. They're like, he deserves love. Like, that's annoying. Just let him be the guy who's like a total fuck up and a weirdo. Don't like this whole episode, the entire Josh plot was, Mom, you're getting in my way of being who I really am, which is like a cool,
guy has strong opinions about if Batman can beat up Spider-Man. That's what I'm saying. That's a total like Charlie wouldn't be able to help but scream at someone about that if they challenged
him. And that would be funny. But this one, it was just like, you got to control it. And then he, you know, finally lets loose and then she hates him anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the lesson. Yeah, the lesson to learn is that he's weird and gross, and like
that. Yeah, he says the lesson. He goes, at least she rejected me for who I was. That was the entire lesson.
You know what's great? America rejected this show for what it is. So he must have felt fine when that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, Jen Elfman, she's like coaching him through
the Secret Service's earpiece.
Yeah, they have.
Well, okay, basically, this episode starts, he's clipping roses in the rose garden, and he's basically like, I'm going to give this lady the most romantic day of her life.
But then he starts loading them into balloons.
He's going to pop the balloons, which, you know what women love? Loud banging noises. Yeah. That's romance. You pop a balloon in her face and rose petals fly around.
Hitting her with water bottle. Water balloons full of roses.
That's what they love. So, yeah, he's like, I'm going to give her. And then the mom is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're going to creep her out because you're a weird guy. He was going to say, I love you immediately, which is a telltale sign of a virgin. Are we supposed to assume Josh is a virgin in this?
No, he has money. He's definitely hired prostitutes.
He's hired DC Nightwalkers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't be able, they would like, he would be weird to them.
But he just has the Secret Service get them for him.
Oh, there you go. And then they just show up.
That's a plot we need, like him getting rid of bodies.
I never said he was murdering them.
I mean, I don't know. He's a weird guy.
Yeah.
They've heard me sing my special song. Yeah. They can't leave the sanctum.
He's got something going on.
She like is talking, you can't do politics. What were all the conversations?
Politics, even though you're the president's son and you're talking with a lady in the fucking White House or whatever. Like, you guys apartment. Might not bring anything up that's going on in your lives. Don't bring up politics. Don't bring up religion. And then I think she was like, don't bring up any shit you like, which is like nerd shit, basically. Yeah. She said, keep it light and airy.
It would be so funny if, like, she started bringing up, like, working at the Department of Defense. He's like, I don't talk politics, actually.
Yeah.
But that would have been a joke. And the show has a big rule against jokes. The most jokes are like, oh, look at Josh Gad. He fell over.
Well, yeah, he rolled onto the couch in a weird way.
Yeah.
That was annoying immediately. Yeah. I hated that when he did the couch gag.
Did you work at a bodega on the Lower East Side in 2014?
You're good to see you again, my friend. It's been a long time. It's been a long, long time.
Excellent use of the word, my friend. In
yeah.
That.
Yeah, that's pure bodega behavior.
I was ready to see you again.
She's just coaching him through all of this. And I think the problem is the show is doing, it's doing a lot of like, it wants, it's a character strength comedy is what it's going for. Like Schitt's Creek is a character heavy comedy. They're not doing like traditional punchlines. It's not set up punch. It's like, look at these characters, look at the weird situation they're in, and that'll be funny based on, you know, us doing that. And then they just don't make any likable characters that you want to hang out with.
Speaking of unlikable characters, we have forgotten another plot line in this episode. Which is the daughter who's now with her jock boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Painting the nursery.
Yeah. And
I would describe it as one of the least interesting things I've ever seen.
Truly. Well,
it was plot.
It did add to 22 minutes.
Yes. It sucked up time. The big thing with them is that he wants sports and Iron Man and his dead uncle, and she wants...
at the end of the episode, Josh Gad somehow knows his uncle?
But they're... Oh, I mean, it's...
Oh, he says he knows that guy?
Josh Gad recognizes, like, is that...
You're right, I didn't...
Is that your uncle? Big ups to your uncle.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know his uncle?
Well, I guess she's been around the family... He's been around the family for a little bit, I guess.
And in that... In 9 episodes, they've met his uncle.
No, his uncle's been dead. So
yeah.
I was going to say, he died in that time? Yeah.
I forgot he wasn't family.
I guess maybe... Well, we don't actually know. There could be a whole incest plot line that we didn't see. I guess maybe this guy has been telling Josh Gad stories of his cool uncle.
Yeah.
And Josh Gad just really liked it.
Yeah.
But that would mean that this guy also gave Josh a picture of his uncle.
He was like,
this is what he looked like.
Know this man. Yeah.
I love the idea the show wouldn't talk about politics, but would talk about incest.
The show you're thinking of is Arrested Development.
You're right.
They did a lot about politics.
They had a whole Iraq war.
I know.
Yeah, they do a basically paint by square mural of
women in science,
and he's like, "What about Iron Man, babe?" Also, just I feel like those guys, like, that was such a...
Where did she meet him?
How old the daughter's supposed to be?
Mid late 20s.
So she's out of college. So yeah. Her whole thing was like, I'm an uptight girl who's never done the wrong thing, and I did it one time, and now look at me. Which is funny, because if you're like, all right, what did you do wrong? Oh, you got raw dogged for the first time. This is what you did. Unless you lost your virginity in this episode, what you're saying that you did wrong to your stepmom is, I messed up one time. It's like, you didn't use a condom. And now you're pregnant.
Another weird thing about that first episode that's just dawning on me is, the first time we see her, she's taking pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
But then in the next scene, Josh Gad sees her, and he knows she's pregnant.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't understand that at all.
Is she taking pregnancy tests every day just to make sure she's still pregnant?
Josh Gad is actually checking the trash every day.
Yeah, he's a little raccoon.
Oh, you say he's a trash guy, so he's Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I love sniffing pregnancy tests.
Yeah. Pure Charlie behavior, but he just can't pull it off.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, like, Charlie seems harmless and Josh Gad doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, Josh Gad has the nuclear codes in this show.
Yeah. He's the real puppet master.
Yeah, he's controlling Bill from behind the scenes.
Josh Gad pulling the strings on Pullman.
Yeah, truly the main point of this was Josh Gad going on a date. That was the bulk of this episode was it's teaching him how to date and then going on a bad date and then the date ending with him doing this little musical number down a street protected by the Secret Service.
Do you think he created the show because he like saw this actress and thought she was attractive and wanted to devise a way to go on a date with her in a show?
Maybe. He was just like, this is my only chance.
I feel like he could have been like, hi, I played Olaf in Frozen.
Not yet.
I will. I'll have my career defining moment. When I play a weird snowman.
I guess he could have been like, hi, I'm in the Book of Mormon. That probably would have carried some weight at the time.
Yeah, but that's on.
Does he have a family?
Josh Gad?
Yeah. Is he married?
Probably.
Married to the job, baby.
Yeah. Married to the fucking game, dude.
Oh, he's married to Billy Crystal. Okay.
Oh, that's wow. Good. Wow. Good for Billy. Billy's taking on a charity case.
Yeah, he has a wife and a family.
Okay.
Yeah. They see 12-year marriage.
Well, let me see her. All right. She kind of matches his vibe.
I'm just now imagining Josh Gad, but in a long hair wig.
No, just
she really, long. Dude. She looks like
very like Italian Long Island.
She does. She look like she manages. She like co-owns a pizza shop on Long Island. She's got
but not unattractive.
Not unattractive. Just like that kind of like, yeah, you're like an Italian mom.
Wow, she's 6 years older than him. We're learning all sorts of stuff about Gad tonight.
Well, we've all kind of run out of shit to say about this show. We're all like, this show sucks.
In fairness, the writers ran out of things to put in the show.
No, we got more on this show because there's the whole date that happens, which is so she's feeding him through an earpiece, and then she...
Well, they have to spill wine on his date first so that she has to leave the table so that he can get the earpiece from the Secret Service guy.
Yeah. Dude, she in the date, this is how sad this lady was that going into this date. She goes, I ordered white wine because I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So you're going in knowing that this klutz is going to fuck you up in some way. And it did happen.
By the way, a better plot line to like shine some light on reality is no matter how bad the date goes with him, she should still be like, I'll date you because you're the president's son.
Yes.
And I'm in politics. And these connections are invaluable.
We need
and
more.
And I should use them for all their worth.
We need more House of Cards vibes in this.
Yeah.
Where, yeah. Or Josh Gad can
also
get pushed in front of a train.
Also, by the way, they debuted this show in the worst possible environment for critics to compare it against. Veep and House of Cards had just come out.
Oh, my God.
Out.
I didn't think about House of Cards too.
Was then,
yeah.
Too? Yeah.
So, yeah, they had the right idea, sort
they
of.
They were like, politics is big right now. How can we do it in the worst way possible?
Let's get Josh Gad on the case.
Josh Gad's
now, okay, hear me out. House of Cards, since Kevin Spacey, big problem now, right?
Yeah.
We use AI, get rid of Kevin Spacey, add in Josh Gad.
I love it.
Yeah, this is great.
I would love to see serious Josh Gad.
No, he's playing it funny.
But he does, is he doing all, like, does he push that lady in front of the train?
Oh, yeah, but it, only because he, like, he yeah. tripped and fell.
Whoops!
She conveniently is gone.
Yeah.
You definitely believe that his wife is like trying to fuck other men at all times, that too.
No way. Not with that hunk of meat, Josh Gad.
That slab of beef.
Yeah.
Hunk of meat, huh?
Yep.
Hunk of meat.
Look, I was trying to think of something better. I went for hunk of meat.
Hunk of meat. He is a piece of meat, that guy.
Oh, well.
Like a ham.
Yeah.
It's like a ham hock in a window.
Josh Gad.
Yeah, you guys really hate this guy.
You know, I'm actually starting to feel bad on how much we're bullying him because we've become the frat guys from the start of the episode. But
he's gonna light my house on fire.
Yeah, I get where they were coming from.
It is funny though. He's taken up like all the because like Bill Pullman. There's a whole other plot about Risk where it's like if your kid beats you in Risk, if your kid beats you in something, he will no longer see you as a man and will like get you.
Yes,
like,
he will see you as a valuable being. That's what the military is like, you can never lose to your son. They'll never respect you after this.
Yeah, he became the president.
It's like, yeah, dude, I think he's good. I think he's fucking good.
Yeah, like Secret Service will shoot him still.
They'll make him disappear. And then he beats him. The kid beats him.
Yeah, and he's fine with it.
And he's like, okay.
He just doesn't take it.
America didn't respect him as president anymore, and a few episodes later, the show was canceled.
Yes.
You had to go back to independent. You had to play a president in Independence Day 2.
Yeah.
The Australians end up nuking America in this show because there was a miscommunication leaked to the press.
If that's how the show ends, I would respect it.
It would be so funny.
Yeah,
that would be great. All right. I mean, yeah. Oh, I did like the speech at the end. Like, that was a decently clever where she's giving the speech to the daughter. And then Josh is giving the same speech and it starts working.
What speech?
She's talking
because they bring up, they're like, oh, what do you like? Because the writing is like, that's the thing is the jokes are bad. And like the whole thing itself is like, it's a bad start. But like, this is like, it's competently written sitcom stuff of like,
the only person that would find this show funny is the sort of person that decorates their home with stuff they bought at Cracker Barrel. Just like those wooden American flags that say something generic.
Freedom.
Yeah. That's the only person that would find this show funny.
This is sick.
Yeah, just anyone who's getting that level of like, you know, pun just all over. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's not that funny. That's really at the end of the day. But I did like that once, right at the end when he's given the speech and then she's like, I'm into it. And then he calls her the wrong name and then she figures out she's wearing the wire.
Oh, yeah, okay. When the yes, I remember this. I truly, yeah, I was ready for the show to end. I was like, please make this date end.
You know what I did like about
You did fall asleep, too.
I did. I watched it this morning.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it was 2 a.m. I was very tired.
You were also very drunk.
Yeah.
You had a giant glass of whiskey.
Was it? No, that was a beer.
Oh, okay.
Ladies
oh
and my gentlemen, God, we've entered the David Cry for Help phase of the podcast.
It was a giggling. I poured it a
glass.
I
need you guys to write in to us at davidhasaproblem@gmail.com. Send your emails encouraging him to get better.
I love that you saw that. You thought
well,
I had...
Well, no, because I think what happened is that you came in to...
Oh, I did have a small whiskey. I had like a finger of whiskey.
But you were like, I have a glass of whiskey and I have a beer. And I thought that... So then when we watched, I was like, damn, that glass of whiskey is pretty fucking heavy, dude. And then I turned and you were just passed out.
No, I was exhausted. It was 2 a.m. Yeah. I've been up since like 7 a.m.
And I was like, God damn, all right.
but okay. The end of the episode, the date was like, the mom, the stepmom, it's like pleading for Josh Gad. It's like, he's great. He's just misunderstood. Which is the same thing Jen Elfman had to do to the networks.
Yeah. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Canceled immediately.
But then the networks and that date were both like, actually, we just think he's kind of uncomfortable and weird.
Yeah, we don't like being around him on set or in this date. He's
and
not
then
fun.
He shows up with Rose Petals singing whatever that fucking song. It was a cover of a song?
Yeah.
Was it At Last?
No, but it was...
like that.
I don't even... care,
man.
He did, but he got his vindication because he popped the balloon over his head with rose petals.
And didn't work.
It did not work at all. But I mean, he at least got to do his thing. And then he goes, you know, she rejected me for me. That's all I want. Anyways, fire her, Dad. She didn't have a job after that. He's like, anyways, Dad, you have to fire her from the Department of Defense now.
Yeah, she just gets moved to like a different country.
She's he's like, have fun in Iraq, bitch. Didn't date my son, fuck you. I'm going to fucking Taliban world now.
That is what this show needs, is just a little bit of darkness. And maybe, I mean, that might be like, because the president
ends up,
is so aged so poorly, like the presidency has become such a like weird position now that we're like, this show is not nearly dark enough.
Yeah, they should always do like an end credit scene where like she's getting waterboarded in a black site prison somewhere and it's just Josh Gad like with her in an orange jumpsuit and it's like, could have gone on this second date, bitch.
Yeah. Is that how you're going to improve the show?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to improve the show.
Yes, end credit scenes where it's just like actual things that were happening in American politics. Like we were during Obama, you know, he never closed Guantanamo. There was all these black sites still. It's just like characters that the president or his kids didn't like are just extradited to the most horrible corners of the planet and tortured.
And do you want to recommend a show?
Do I want to recommend a show? Seinfeld, huh? Let's go with Seinfeld.
Guys, it's great. Check it out.
It's a great show. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a little ditty from the 90s when we had the greatest president ever.
And we haven't seen the comedians, but I'm willing to bet Josh Gad does the same thing that they do in Seinfeld, where he starts off doing bits.
Yes.
He does that bits. On original.
He's just singing.
Yeah.
All right. For this show, I think you just replaced Josh Gad with a variety of actors. Let him still be the writer of the show. I like that more for it, because then he's just tortured and then you'll start having that darkness start bleeding into the show as this character. Honestly, maybe replace him with Jaleel White.
Okay. And Sinbad is the dad?
Yeah, Sinbad's the dad. All President right. Sinbad again.
Oh, I never told you guys my Family Matters story.
Oh, yeah. we'll close it out with that.
We'll close it out, okay.
Well, I need to recommend a show.
Yeah. Yes, dude. And I'll recommend Friday Night Lights, because that's a good show that talks about politics.
I love Friday Night Lights.
I'll recommend The West Wing, and I'll say the only way to make this better is times 4 speed. That's how you Damn. Make the show better.
5-minute episodes. Yep.
Anyway, Family Matters story.
So I was just in Atlanta last week, and I was doing a bunch of shows, and I went over to the Punchline Comedy Club. They have like a Sunday night open mic. And this guy gets up who had been sitting in the audience. He looked, I thought it was like, I think it was like his first time doing comedy, because he like brought, you know, like a handful of people where you're like, okay, why are you bringing people on a Sunday night open mic? And it was like a bucket pull. So you get pulled like fifth or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this, you know, like well put together black dude. And he's like, you guys may have seen me in your living rooms or your bedrooms. And like, I was just like, okay. Like, I didn't know what he was talking about. I truly thought he was making like a house burglar joke. Like, you've seen me in your houses. You know, I was like, are you saying that you rob people? Or I didn't know what he was getting at. And then he starts talking about like, yeah, my first, he's kind of doing more like a story than like stand up. He's like, yeah, my mom was my first manager. And he still has not said like of what or what he's done in his past. And so all the comics are looking around like, what is this fucking guy talking about? And then he starts talking about like, yeah, I was a child star. And it turned out it was Eddie Winslow, who was the brother on Family Matters. He was like the attractive brother in like the vest and stuff. Eddie Winslow. His name is like Darius
Rucker.
No, yeah. I only want to be with you. Yes. But he's there and he's talking about, and so he's just like basically talking about his time as like a child star or whatever. And so we're all like looking him up in the back because we're like, oh, it's this dude. And literally like all the stories about this guy are that he's been arrested multiple times for skipping out on child support. So we're all laughing at like kind of in a weird way being like, oh, he was a very nice guy. But
he's just looking for additional revenue streams.
Well, he was like, I'm in Atlanta right now shooting a movie. And we're like, okay, like what direct to video movie are you? I mean, you know, it's like, what is, dude, there is a TMZ article. We're literally reading these articles while he's on stage because he's definitely burning the light. But he's an actor, man. He has to go. But one of the articles says that he owed the IRS like $90,000 and he owed child support for like $55,000. And then he told the IRS, they're like in this article, they go, he told the IRS that he made, quote, $500 that year, which is, you could panhandle and make more than $500. I mean, the idea that you on paper made $500 is so funny to tell the government when you owe $155,000. So the end of his set, he had the DJ. There was a DJ for some reason at this open mic.
He was also in Family Matters.
Yeah, it was Urkel. He goes, all right, DJ, play the song. And then he just had him play the Family Matters theme song. But I don't know. Do you guys like Family Matters was like, I remember the show. I used to watch it.
Yeah.
But I do not remember like word for word. It's not like a, and he, I think, thought that everybody was going to know it. So he's like, he goes, sing along with me. And he just starts singing the theme song. But everybody in the crowd's like, bro, we don't know these fucking words.
It's a rare condition.
So you do.
Day and age.
All right, well.
Da, da. No, that's all I got.
Yeah, so you eventually have to go. Da, da.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, I know.
The only time I remember is when it's kind of ending, goes, days go by.
Yeah.
And it's a rare bird.
Yeah.
And he and it was just really sad to watch this former child star who, you know, has not made a lot of money, is probably not seen his kids in a while because he's not paying bills. He's just, and you know, comedy club open mics are already empty, sad affairs. So he's just like, come on, you know, he's like really trying to get us in and no one is singing it. And then he just ends it and gets off stage.
Just think 20 years from now, that's going to be Josh Gad.
Yeah. Come on, sing 1600 Pence theme song with me, everyone. You remember the hit NBC sitcom 1600 Pence?
It was just a bunch of like people that were 10 when they saw Frozen being like, sing the snowman song.
Do Frozen song now. Do Frozen song now. Josh?
You guys want to hear a story about the time I met Bill Pullman?
What do you think? Do you guys ever talk about this? What do you think, like, cast of shows when they're on a flop show and it ends pretty abruptly, like how do you think they do, they talk to each other like what the fuck happened, or do you think they on the inside are like, you know, like when we do a show we all are like, that was a bad show, like are they just like, yeah, we never really saw this one going anywhere, because it's a paycheck to them, it's a job, they're gonna take it.
Well, for some perspective, are you planning on talking to us after this podcast?
I'll talk to you guys.
Then there you go. You all have right. your answer.
All right. All right.